And welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Folt. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities mining in the junior resource sector. And joining us on the line from beautiful Albuquerque, New Mexico, is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Folt. Mickey, how are you?
I'm doing well, Rob.
Okay, well, baseball has gotten underway. That's your favorite sport, your Cardinals, and my Blue Jays, unfortunately, both sporting losing records, but I think what's really gripped our attention are the NHL playoffs. Your Blues doing pretty good. They're leading the series. My Rangers deadlocked right now with the Canadiens. Some great hockey being played, though, this year.
Yeah, there's been some surprises, and no, I don't think anybody would have picked the Blues to beat Minnesota. They're up 3-1 now, and probably the real surprise is Chicago's down 3-0 to Nashville, and that game, Nashville can clinch that tonight, I suppose.
Yeah, big hole that the Blackhawks have found themselves in. For this edition of the program, Mickey, you wanted to look at the performance of the Baltic Dry Index, its relationship to a number of commodities, how they're trading right now, and what we could see and how we could see them trade going forward, namely iron ore, coal, and copper. What are your thoughts on those commodities right now and their performance?
Well, I think most people realize that I think we're in an incipient bull market for commodities, and I've kind of warned this year that I expect it to be positive for the most part, but kind of to operate in fits and starts. And we've really seen that with iron ore. It's lost 30% of its value in 1 month, dropped from basically around $95 a ton to $61 a ton. And, you know, this is the $90 was, what, a couple of year high. This is despite record Chinese steel output with GDP growth very strong in China at just under
7%. Yeah.
Yeah, just under 7%, mainly driven by a really robust housing market. But despite all this demand for steel, iron ore supplies are up worldwide, and especially from Chinese mines, and we've got record high stockpiles, so very strong volatility in the iron ore price.
Yeah, so it's really a concern over excess in supply that's been driving the price down, Mickey. And also, you mentioned those GDP numbers. On the surface, they look great, 6.9% GDP growth, stronger than expected. But when we get data like that out of China, there's always second guessing as to whether or not we can really believe the numbers, isn't there?
Well, certainly, and I think we've been stuck at this 6.9% for several months running now, so you don't quite know, but I think it's a given that their housing market is undergoing some robust growth right now. With iron ore, it's just a matter of oversupply, even though demand remains high.
Yeah, coking coal, a key input for the production of steel. That price has certainly been a headline grabber, hasn't it, for various reasons right now?
Yeah, it really has. I mean, here we have iron ore over the last month dropping 30%, and meanwhile, coking coal has hit a six-year high now at $314 a ton. And it's really been due to supply disruption. So there's a big hurricane in Queensland, which supplies most of China, most of the Chinese coking coal, which, as people will know, is used in steel making, essential in steel making. Major rail damage, and the price has more than doubled in the last 2 weeks. Really on very high Chinese demand, imports up 12% year over year, 25%. From February. So, and once again, very volatile prices as the commodities markets start to turn around. 52-week high for coking coal of 314, we just mentioned, and it was as low as $75 not that long ago.
Yeah, you mentioned disruption in supplies, Mickey. That was a lot of that was the result of a cyclone, which caused a lot of damage to rail lines in Australia. Correct?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I think I said it was a hurricane, but they call them cyclones in that part of the world.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think there's also we're looking at rising demand in India for coking coal as well.
Well, yes, India's economy, despite what the monetary problems they've had, is recovered somewhat, and so yeah, strong demand for iron ore and coking coal in India.
Okay, so we have the price of coking coal on the rise, moving in the other direction. Dr. Copper, so you know, this base metal, Mickey, often referred to as a great read on overall, I guess, economic demand and the state of the economy. But we have the price of copper right now, what, down to its lowest level in at least 3 months?
Yeah. Yesterday, it was a three-month low at $2.51. Mm-hmm. It bounced up a couple of pennies today at $2.53. And that's after we thought that it stabilized in this 260 to 270 range. It was really range-bound and establishing a base, as you said, a three-month low. And this is really due to, as far as I can tell, geopolitical tensions throughout the world with Trump threatening North Korea, and we've got an armada going over to North Korea, so the geopolitical risk profile has come in on the copper market. So despite a very healthy contango in copper and a positive forward curve for the next 6 months, that metal has taken in the shorts, as did most of the world-traded base metals. Oil's down this week. So once again, this fits and starts as we see what we think is a bull market for commodities going forward.
Yeah, and I guess really geopolitical concerns are the only explanation for copper's performance, because we mentioned the better-than-expected GDP numbers from China. I think the International Monetary Fund also raised its forecast for global growth this year to about 3.5%. That's up slightly from a previous forecast. And we've got Trump's $1 trillion infrastructure program still sitting on the books in the United States. Whether or not he can act on that as soon as a lot of people had hoped remains to be seen, but certainly that cannot offer a floor for copper. So there's no other explanation for it, is there?
Well, I haven't really found any, and your point's well taken with Trump's infrastructure build out. That's going to be very good for copper and iron ore demand in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, I think Trump got a little bit ahead of himself, and it's not going to happen as quickly as perhaps the street wants. So I think copper's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
The forward curve, as we said, looks very strong. So going ahead, I'm not really worried about the copper price too much.
Okay, well, let's circle back to the Baltic Dry Index, which we mentioned off the top of this interview, Mickey. The Baltic Dry Index, for people who may not be familiar with it, basically an index that tracks the cost of moving raw materials such as iron ore and coal by boat. I believe it tracks about 23 shipping routes of dry bulk carriers, followed quite closely in terms of, I guess, a bit of a barometer on the health of the global economy.
Well, it certainly does, and it's one of these leading economic indicators. And found an interesting tidbit the other day. It leads the MSCI World Stock Index, and that's an index that measures mid to large cap stocks in 23 developed countries, and it generally leads that by a couple of months. So what we see in the BDI, again, very high volatility, is known for its volatility, 52-week high of 1338 about a month ago, and a low of 579. Within the last year, closed at 1296 yesterday. So that is a good indicator that we're going to have a stronger market for commodities going forward.
Yeah, do you put a lot of trust in it, Mickey? Because we've seen a rally in the BDI this year, but at the same time, and we've talked about this, we've seen iron ore prices, for example, collapse. So sometimes there can be a bit of a head scratcher over whether BDI gives us an accurate picture, isn't there?
Well, I think I would have to agree with you on that, but let's realize the two biggest commodities transported are number one, iron ore, number two, coke and coal.
Mm-hmm.
So we've kind of had these two metals going, or two commodities going in opposite directions right now. I think what the BDI really is telling us, that the overall health economy looks good,
mm-hmm.
and we should see strong demand, strong GDP growth, and strong demand for commodities going forward.
Okay, and wrapping up, Mickey, from an investing point of view, what's your conclusion to the conversation regarding iron ore, coking coal, copper, and the commodities, and rather the companies that produce those materials? And because we touched on the Baltic Dry Index, the shipping companies that transport those materials.
Well, I think, the market's already baked in some of these moves. The iron ore producers have suffered over the last month. Copper companies have gotten hit despite some strikes and supply disruptions. But certainly there can be a case made, because BDI was kind of suffering for quite some time. And with this rise, there's been some analysts on the street. They're very bullish on the shipping companies at this point.
Okay, well, you do have a bit of a reputation, sir, as to also swimming against the tide, correct?
Well, that's what we try to do, Rob.
Okay, let's wrap it up on that note. Mickey, thanks very much for this, and we'll reconnect in about a month's time.
All right, thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Mickey Fult, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com, and you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.